In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Our daughter Erin's birthday is August 6th, which happens to be a major feast day in the church, the Feast of Transfiguration. Between liturgy with its festal antiphones, the blessing of the fruit, those sorts of things, our kids grew up knowing what that event was and some of its importance. Now, Erin once met a new friend, and they were talking about their birthdays and the ways they celebrated, etc. And this friend grew up in a Christian family, very familiar with the Bible, and Erin says, "My birthday is August 6th, which in our church is also the Feast of Transfiguration." And the friend asked, "What's Transfiguration?" And this is a kid who was raised on the Bible and probably heard the story, but for some reason, at least for the moment, it didn't sink in. It hadn't set in where it could be immediately recalled. It dawned on me that reading the story was not enough. Knowing an event happened doesn't suffice. We need, as human souls, to celebrate holidays. We need to celebrate events in order for them to have an impact on our lives. Knowing about them intellectually is incomplete. Knowing about an event, reading about it, analyzing its meaning, all those things are certainly good. There's nothing wrong with those things. But they're not enough. Those things provide kind of a third person, outside perspective. They did this then. It keeps ourselves on the outside. Celebrating an event makes it first and second person. It's me and you, we're here. It's a we, it's an us. Celebrating allows us to participate in an event even if we weren't there historically. Celebrating an event allows us to take part in the event itself. And it really works. God wired us that way. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, they won their first ever Super Bowl this past February, on February 4th of this year. Now, only 48 players are on the roster, and of them, only 30 of them actually saw playing time. Maybe 30,000 fans were actually at the game if you split the stadium 50-50 between the two teams. 4 days later, on February 8th, there was a parade in Philadelphia. Police estimated 2.5 million people came out for the parade. It ended up being 5 miles long because of how many people showed up. People came out to the parade to celebrate. They were celebrating their team. They were chanting things like, "We won, we finally did it. We won the Super Bowl." Now you could read a description of every play, of every yard gained and lost, of every penalty, of every strategy. You could pore over expert analysis of the game for months on end. But if you did that, you're still observing from the outside. But if you were one of those 2.5 million people at the parade, even though you weren't actually at the game and you certainly didn't play in it, even though it was 4 days later, even though it was thousands of miles removed from where the victory actually happened, you're still participating far more deeply than the person who does months of in-depth analysis just by celebrating. Just by celebrating, you've become part of the event itself, and that we is actually true. You're part of it. The we is real. And we have a great little verse in our reading from the book of Acts today. It says, "Paul decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, and he was even willing to skip a pastoral visit to Ephesus. The question is, why? Why did he want to go to Jerusalem for Pentecost? Well, the answer is to celebrate. To celebrate. To be present at the celebration of the feast. Now, Pentecost had already been an Old Testament feast of the harvest, but the Holy Spirit kind of just blows that out of the water by making that the day of the gift of all gifts, the coming of the Spirit, the coming of God into the world, the spread of the gospel from that one city, from those few men, to the universe. So here the New Testament is already mentioning Pentecost not just as an historical event, but as a holiday. It's already becoming an ongoing celebration, and Paul wants to be there. Now, Paul could have written theological treatises on the meeting on the Pentecost until he was blue in the face. I mean, he had that knowledge and that ability. But he wanted to be there to celebrate. He wanted to be there to take part in the event itself. And that's how we keep these great events alive in our hearts and in our souls, is by celebrating and by participating. Knowing isn't enough. Celebrating is essential, and that's why Paul was hurrying to Jerusalem, if possible, to be there on the day of Pentecost. Now, the church gives us a calendar filled with celebration possibilities. You know, we have Pascha, the Feast of Feasts, and Holy Week leading up to it. We have the 12 major feast days, most of which last multiple days. Then we have a slew of minor feast days. And then every day of the year, there's dozens of saints usually that could be celebrated. And then we have a weekly cycle where each day means something. Then we have an eight-tone cycle. And then we have kind of makeshift feast days, just that grew out of the gospel reading of the day. Right? We have the Sunday of the Samaritan woman. We have the Sunday of Zacchaeus. We have the Sunday of the prodigal son. All those just grew up out of a reading that became celebrations in themselves. And we know the Samaritan woman and the prodigal son because we celebrate them. But with all that put together, to quote the Lion King, there's far too much to take in here and more to find than can ever be found. You know, there's more than we can possibly digest in a lifetime. But these readings, these events, these saints, there is life to be found in them. But that life only comes to you and to me when they are celebrated by you and by me. And that's why Paul was hurrying to be at Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. Right now we're in the middle of the Feast of Ascension, a feast that lasts 9 days. Church knows somehow that one day isn't just enough. And today we had the festal hymns and we heard the gospel reading. And this morning at Adult Ed, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Ascension. But just by being here, just by celebrating it, just by hearing and singing, we are able to take part in an event, even if the original event is in the past and happened thousands of miles away. Now, I know in the church there's always different factions and different opinions that argue over the proper day and the proper way to celebrate feasts and which calendar, etc., etc. All that's a distraction, really. All that is a distraction. What matters is that we celebrate. What matters is that we put joy into our lives and into the event. What matters is that you and I show up and that you and I take part in the saving events of Jesus by celebrating them. You know, you can teach kids about events of the Savior's life all you want, but it really sinks in when those events are celebrated. You can do all the theological analysis that your brain can muster, and even till springs and gears start popping out, but nothing's going to sink in until they're celebrated. Those events won't find heart and soul until they are participated in. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a majority of our New Testament and was one of the greatest theologians that ever lived, was still hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, for the day of Pentecost so that he could celebrate. Amen.